أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Our praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness, and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds, and whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. My dear brothers and sisters, remember that when the khutbah is on, we should not be talking or being distracted in any way, because the khutbah is part of the salah, and that is why the salat has been reduced to 2 rak'ats from 4 rak'ats. The khutbah has to be listened to carefully, and there should be no talking and no distractions. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, these days we Muslims are constantly in the news, and mostly for the wrong reasons. If it's not about the beheadings of Jihadi John, as they call him, or the massacres of Boko Haram in Nigeria, then it's about Muslim Pakistani men abusing underage girls, or some other bad news. Unfortunately, many of us won't acknowledge that there are serious problems that we Muslims have right inside our own communities. Not only in our communities, but even within our families. And it goes right down to our individual hearts, inside our own hearts. Some of us live in denial. We blame the sensational mass media. That's what they're for. They're there for. The news media are there to make big stories and sell newspapers and get clicks on websites and so on. So we blame the media. We blame dark conspiracies against Islam. But few of us will sit up and ask, what role have we Muslims played in creating this mess that we find ourselves in? For example, how many of us know that although we Muslims are only 3% of the UK population, 3% of the UK population, we are 10% of the prison population? It's 3 times the number that we are in the wider community. 3% of the UK population, 10% of the prison population. Real Muslims should be 0% in prison. When I first heard this, I thought, well, that must be because too many young men are being arrested on terrorism charges and so forth and released afterwards. But I was wrong. The offenses range from burglary and fraud to drug dealing and every other crime you can think of, and some crimes you dare not even think of. And it's not only the men, my dear sisters and brothers. Our sisters also have a problem. I spoke to a chaplain one day who attends to some of the prisons in London, and one of the London women's prisons has 30%, almost one third Muslims. The crimes range from shoplifting to domestic violence, and it's mostly domestic violence. There are many stories of mother-in-law problems and daughter-in-law problems. And we've also had horrific cases of children being beaten to death. I'm sure some of you heard and read about this. Poor six-year-old child was beaten to death by the mother who wasn't happy with the way he was reciting the Quran. So, brothers and sisters, we do have a problem. And this must be just the tip of the iceberg, because so many crimes don't actually get noticed. They don't even get reported to the law. It's all hushed up in the name of honor, family honor. What honor is there when this is the way we live? This is not an honorable way to live. So what's gone wrong? How do Muslims get into such a mess? How can we begin to put things right? We cannot simply shrug our shoulders and say, it's not our problem, my family is okay, I'm okay. We can't look away and walk away and do nothing. Some Muslims claim welfare benefits that they're not entitled to. And they know all the tricks, and they could possibly do a doctoral thesis on welfare benefits and benefit fraud. My dear sisters and brothers, this is not Islam. This is not how Muslims are supposed to live. Do you know why the Muslim world is in such a mess out there? It's because we are in such a mess inside ourselves, inside our own hearts, inside our own families. Our personal lives, many of us in our personal lives are in a mess. And our personal lives and our family lives are just a microcosm of what's happening out there in the wider world. We must begin by clearing up this mess inside our hearts. Our desires, our passions, our hopes and our longings must turn away from what displeases Allah, and we must begin to desire those things that will bring us nearer to Allah. The Holy Quran warns us that Allah will never change the condition of a people until they change what is within themselves. And it works both ways. If a nation and a community and an individual is good and in a state of peace and salam, Allah will never change it to become the opposite. And if we are in a mess, Allah is not going to put the mess right for us unless we change what is within ourselves. And this change will only happen when we stop making excuses, stop blaming conspiracies out there. Oh, you know, it's the Zionists, it's this, it's that, it's the government, it's foreign policy. Yes, there are problems with these things too. But we must see to what extent we are responsible for the damage and the mess that we are in. Excuses come from shaitan. The real believer, the real Muslim, takes responsibility for himself, takes responsibility for his family, for his neighborhood, for his community. Khalif Umar radiallahu anhu, one of his very well often quoted sayings, warned his people, hold yourself to account before you are brought to account. Don't wait until Yawm al-Qiyamah, when it's too late. Do it now. Put your life in order now. And it's not difficult, brothers and sisters. It's not rocket science. Before we begin any task, we must ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What impulse is driving me? Is it fear, greed, envy, or vanity? If it's any of these things, stop, don't do it. I'm only going to harm my own soul. Dear brothers and sisters, we must have full presence of mind in everything that we do, every moment of the day. Presence of mind. In big things and in small things. We must begin every action in Allah's holy name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We all know that. We do it when we make our salah. We do it in other things. But try and do this. Try and say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim with everything that you do, even if it's a small thing. Tying up your shoelaces. You know, getting into your car. Doing everything with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And when we do that, and we're not just saying it as a habit, but we're actually mindful of it. And if you don't know the meaning in English, get to know the meaning. The meaning is very simple. I begin this action in the name, in the holy name of Allah, the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. And if we are constantly aware and conscious of the meaning of what we are doing, you cannot go and do a criminal act. You cannot go and start selling drugs with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You cannot start beating your wife. Or the wife or the mother beating her a daughter or a son with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Every time you're about to do something, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And that is the key to making sure that we are always conscious of Allah's presence and doing things in His holy name. Brothers and sisters, we must begin to internalize our faith. You know, it's very easy for a Muslim to externalize. You see a lady wearing hijab or niqab, mashallah. There goes the Muslim lady. But you don't know what's inside. We must be inside and outside the same. We must be in a holy state, in an Allah-aware state, in a state of taqwa and iman, inside and outside. And sometimes we misjudge people. We see a Muslim woman maybe not wearing a hijab, or not wearing it properly, or just wearing a scarf that's half covered, and we start making judgments about it. So beware of that. These are tricks of shaitan. Don't start judging people. Don't judge a man because he hasn't got a beard, or his beard isn't long enough, or his trousers isn't hanging at the right number of inches away from his ankles, or something like that. Don't become judgmental. This is how shaitan plays tricks with us. Real taqwa, real iman begins from the inside. The things we can't see, and let Allah be the judge. We must purify our hearts, brothers and sisters. That is the key. We must learn to control our desires, to tame the lower passions, and always to refer to the higher and nobler qualities in us. Every time we do something, don't do it out of anger, or jealousy, or envy, or lust. You know, always refer to the higher qualities, because these qualities lie side by side within us, the negative and the positive. The good, the mercy, the love, the compassion, it's all lying there side by side. It all takes time, dear brothers and sisters. Sinners and criminals aren't made overnight. It starts with forgetfulness. One of the meanings of insan, the Arabic word for human beings, insan, one of the meanings is forgetfulness, being forgetful, being distractible. We are all, it's human nature. Allah's programmed us this way. We are meant to be forgetful and distractible, so that we have to struggle to come back towards remembrance, dhikr, and good actions. So it starts with small actions, small bits of forgetfulness, deviations, small acts of mischief that grow bigger and bolder. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is very straight and straightforward and clear. But we see little sideways and byways and so forth, and we want to go and explore here and explore there, and that's where the trouble begins. It's a lifelong struggle, my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters. A struggle. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the greater jihad. Anyone can grab a Kalashnikov or a rocket-propelled grenade and can stand and pose there like Rambo, you know, thinking he's playing some kind of paintball game in some kind of Hollywood movie. Anyone can do that. But the greater jihad, the real jihad is to clear up the mess inside. And unfortunately, many of these young men haven't even cleaned up the mess inside. Many of them come from disturbed backgrounds. And some clever guy goes around and says, you know, you want to clear away your sons, you know, you want to start, go and fight the jihad for Allah. Go and kill the kuffar in Syria and so forth. And these people are manipulated. They don't realize they're being manipulated. You know, you cannot fight a proper jihad until you've cleaned up your mess inside. And in any case, jihad can only be declared by a recognized, authoritative, and accepted ruler of the Muslim Ummah. We don't have one. We don't have such a ruler. and their rules for jihad, but we won't go into that. That is not my topic today. Brothers and sisters, we have to take control of the demons within us. Inside us, we have all kinds of wild animals. We've got a whole zoo inside us, you know. All these instincts of anger and envy and rage and hate, these are wild animals, and we've got to be good zookeepers. Keep them locked up, keep them chained, keep them properly under control. And we can't do this without Allah's help. And one of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's favorite du'as was a very short and simple one. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turner of hearts, please turn my heart towards your religion. It's a very simple one. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. We can all learn it and say it. And it's a plea to Allah to turn this heart, which is the heart also, the word qalb actually also has one shade of its meaning is that which turns. Your heart can turn towards forgetfulness and sinfulness. It can turn towards obedience and remembrance and worship as well. So we ask Allah always to turn our hearts towards His remembrance and towards His religion. And that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. Dear brothers and sisters, we must all try to learn this dua and say it with meaning and feeling. And be prepared to change our old bad habits into new good ones. You know, sometimes I think we have too much information and too little transformation. In the old days, you had to go to libraries, you had to go and search through books on hadith to find something. Today you can click and Google search and you can find something within a few seconds. There's so much information out there. There's no excuse for us not to know what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing. But sadly, we've got an overload of information, but it doesn't transform what's in here. And one of the wise scholars said, the longest journey is from here to here, from the head to the heart, from the things we know that's right and wrong, to actually doing it and living it. So let us pray to Allah to help us on this journey, from the head to the heart, to purify our hearts. And Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turn of hearts, please turn our hearts towards your deen, towards your religion, towards your remembrance. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala khairul mursaleen, Muhammadan Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. May the greetings and peace be upon the best messenger Muhammad, the unlettered prophet, upon his family and upon all his companions. Amma ba'd, and after this, behold, Allah and his angels send blessings on Prophet Muhammad. O you who believe, ask for blessings on him and salute him with a worthy salutation. O Allah, send your greetings upon Muhammad and his family, just as you sent your greetings on Ibrahim and his family. O Allah, send your blessings on Muhammad and his family, just as you blessed Ibrahim and his family. In both worlds, you are praiseworthy and exalted. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi wa rabbil azim. All glory is for Allah, all praise is for Allah, there's no power and no strength except with Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, to summarize, we Muslims are in a mess because we've forgotten the core ethical values of Islam. These values were eloquently described in one of my favorite hadith when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, "A Muslim is someone from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. A mu'min, a true believer, is someone in whom all of humankind is safe with their life and their property." It's a short hadith, but a very beautiful one. A Muslim is someone from whose tongue and hands, from his words, his speech, and his deeds, all other Muslims are safe. How many of us are safe from each other's tongues and hands? And a mu'min, a true believer, is someone in whom all of humankind is safe with life and property. Now this is a heavy, heavy responsibility, my dear brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of us play these computer games, you know. We have your entry level and you go on to the next level and the next level. And you know, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sat in front of him, and nobody knew who this man was because he walked in there. You've all heard the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. He sat there, he held Prophet Muhammad's hands, and he asked him, "Tell me about Islam." And Prophet Muhammad recited the Kalima Shahada, the five pillars of Islam. And then he said, "Tell me about Iman." And he gave the six principles of Iman. And then he asked him, "Tell me about Ihsan, about excellence." And Prophet Muhammad said, "Ihsan, excellence, is when you worship Allah as if you can see Him in front of you, knowing that even if you cannot see Allah, then He sees you. Surely He sees you." And Jibreel alayhi salam got up and walked out, and Prophet Muhammad asked his companions, "Do you know who this man was?" And he said, the companion said, "No, Allah and His Prophet know best." He said, "That was Jibreel alayhi salam, and he came to teach you your religion. Our religion is about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. If you look at it as a computer game, the entry level is to be a Muslim, to be the entry level, the basic level, to fulfill the five pillars of Islam. But then you don't stay there, you move on to the next level, and the Quran often refers to Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have faith, who attain faith. You go on to the next level. And then you observe the six principles of Iman. But it doesn't stop there. The best of the best, the most special of the Muslims, go to Ihsan. And they live every moment of their lives, awake and asleep, as if they are in Allah's presence and they are aware of it all the time. They never deviate from that. This is what we need to aspire to. You know, this is the top level of the computer game, if you like. We need to aspire to Ihsan. Then we won't find ourselves filling the prisons with three times more than the average population. You know, what has Islam done for us? What has Iman done for us? If we are 10% of the prison population, and in some women's prisons, 30% of the population. And we are only 3% of the UK population. That, I think, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to seriously think about what is wrong with our hearts, with our behavior, with our families, with the way we conduct ourselves. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to accept this dua from us, that we need to reform ourselves from the inside and stop blaming on the outside. This is a trick of shaitan, and don't let shaitan play tricks with us. We must reform ourselves from the inside. And another incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah was shaking his head and saying, "He's not a believer, he's not a believer, he's not a believer." He said it three times, "He's not a believer." And the companions asked, "Who are you talking about? What is this?" And he said, "The one whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief." Is that right? The one whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief, from his sins. Let our neighbors never ever have reason to fear the fact there's a Muslim family that's moved into our street now, next door to us. Goodness, what are we expecting now? Drugs, violence, all kinds of things. No. That should never be the case, my dear brothers and sisters. And let us stop the lame excuses, as I said, about blaming others. Let us follow the example of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Those who have been on Hajj, or inshallah will go on Hajj, will know that when you stand on the day of Arafah, when you stand on the day of Wukuf, you stand on Arafah, And we make a dua that Nabi Adam made when he lifted his hands to the heavens and he said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. O our Lord, we have truly wronged our own souls, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will truly be among the losers. He didn't blame Shaitan. He didn't say, he did it, he told me to do it. No. He took responsibility, and this is the lesson we must learn. Stop blaming others. Don't blame Shaitan. That's his job. That is his CV. His career is to mislead you. Don't blame him. Blame yourself for following him. Don't fall into that trick. So we should never allow ourselves to feel sorry for ourselves and to blame other people and to make excuses for ourselves. Because that is a self-delusion. And as I said, we need to tame the wild beast within us. And let us not be among those whom the Quran describes as those who forgot Allah, and so Allah caused them to forget themselves. Let us always be mindful of Allah and mindful of our responsibilities. And remember, as I said earlier, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Everything that we do, remember the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. And let every action be informed of mercy and compassion. And then we'll become a better community, inshallah. Ameen. As Prophet Muhammad said, be merciful to those on earth, and he who is in heaven will show mercy on you. Dear brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, surely Allah commands justice, good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives, and he forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And remember me, I will remember you, be grateful to me and do not reject faith. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. آمين. أقيموا الصلاة.